everyone, and thanks for joining us for another episode of LID Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Francesca Stainer. And for this episode, we are talking to Paula Leach about her book, Vantage Points, How to Create a Culture Where Employees Thrive. Paula Leach is a senior human resource leader and consultant with her own practice entitled Vantage Points Consultancy. She was previously the chief people officer at the FDM Group and at the UK Home Office. Her book Vantage Points invites leaders everywhere to consciously broaden their awareness via their exploration of the key vantage points. With this heightened awareness, great leaders can focus their attention on the two primary jobs, creating clarity and space for individuals and teams to thrive. Vantage Points is a resource designed to support leaders in becoming more intentional in their actions and human-centered interventions to enable and celebrate the shared collective endeavor of their team. Everyone who holds a position of leadership, regardless of their experience or scale, has five key vantage points from which they can build positive momentum and high performance. This book introduces these vantage points and provides highly practical examples of how leaders can use these in their daily approach to leading teams of brilliant people. So thank you so much for joining us today, Paula. Can you tell us a bit about the story behind the book, Vantage Points? So why you wrote it and what significance you think it has for leaders today?
Yeah, thank you, Francesca, and thanks for having me on the podcast. This book is probably, for me, it's probably about 3 years in the writing. I've been a people professional in different settings, so in big private sector, big public sector, and in an entrepreneurial growth company over the course of my career, and, you know, global organization working in different sectors, different functions. So I've had a really broad career, always working alongside leaders, with leaders, and as an executive leader myself. And throughout that journey across the last 25 years or so, I've had the privilege to observe leadership right up close and work with many leaders, support many leaders, and also go on my own leadership journey. So as a basis of all of that, I started to think about the things I was, as an HR director, as a chief people officer, the things I was repeatedly coaching leaders on, and the types of things that we were talking about, the types of areas where I was helping to support them. For me, what I was aiming to do is there's a huge amount of fantastic literature out there on leadership. There's some brilliant research pieces that are based on great evidence and really, really good research. And there's some really fantastic stories from leaders themselves talking about their leadership journey and how they've achieved success and what's worked for them. What I felt I could add to this conversation for leaders was something perhaps a little bit different on a more pragmatic basis. So the book, it's not a research book, it's not my story. This really is sort of a coach alongside you. These are the things that I coach leaders on. And so I talk about what I've distilled into the sort of the essence of leadership, what I think are the most important things I've observed successful leaders doing, and some very, very practical ways of bringing that to life. So that's the origin of the book. That's a little bit about my background, and that's what I was trying to do with Vantage Points.
And I think that's one of the really interesting things about the book. It is based on these sort of real experiences working with leaders, but also it has got that practical side to it as well, which makes it very applicable to kind of every day. You can kind of read it and then take something into your work life as well.
Yeah, that was my real aim, because, again, this is based on what I've been doing myself and what I've been learning, but also what I've been coaching leaders on. So the book is... The book is made up of a number of different practical tools. So most of the different things I talk about are illustrated with, some form of methodology or some form of practical application that a leader can try. And again, you know, this isn't about, I think leadership is a challenging practice. It's a challenging role to take on for anybody. And the aim of this book is it's for anybody. I mean, you could be in your first leadership job leading a team of three people. You could be, you know, very established in your leadership career, leading thousands of people. I think the principles are very much the same. And so the aim in the book is to really bring it back to quite a level of simplicity, because I think that we can overcomplicate this. And actually bringing it back to a level of simplicity, I think, is very helpful for leaders to focus on the ways in which they can be most uniquely impactful in their role as a leader. So that's what I'm trying to do. And as I say, you know, there's models in here, and there's illustrations too. I think a book that doesn't have some form of visual, you know, it's a good opportunity to bring some sort of visual element into the book, and some illustrations that help to explain some of the things that I'm talking about.
Yes, definitely. As a visual learner myself, that is very appreciated.
Well, I find myself, I should say, you know, a lot of the origin of the book is based on coaching I've been doing over the years. Most of the illustrations in this book are things that I will have stood up and, you know, in the moment, just written up on a whiteboard, or, you know, brought into a conversation, or grabbed a piece of paper and, you know, drawn it out. So it really is just bringing that all into one place.
Brilliant. I mean, talking a bit more about vantage points. So, I mean, the book goes through these five key vantage points from which everyone kind of build this positive momentum and high performance. Can we talk a bit about what the different vantage points are?
Yeah. So I think in order to do that, I almost need to work backwards and just outline the kind of the principle that the vantage points come from. So any leader, I don't think it makes a difference what sector you're in, or, you know, as I say, even the scale or size of your leadership challenge. Whatever leadership position you are in, your responsibility really is to move something from A to B. So your responsibility is to coordinate resources, mainly people, but sometimes other resources, but to enable a result, moving something from A to B. And that could be, you know, day-to-day operations of something, or it could be a huge transformation, but you are facilitating and coordinating resources to move something from A to B. If that's the case, my suggestion is, in terms of simplifying things, that your job as the leader, you have two jobs to enable you to do that, just two jobs. And one is to create clarity, and the other one is to get out of the way and create space. And so that's the kind of premise for, and the structure of how I've kind of put the practical tools together in here. And for a leader to be able to do those two jobs, so to create clarity and to get out of the way, those two jobs, my suggestion is that there's five different vantage points from which you can gain information, gain a perspective, help to develop your thinking so that you can do those two jobs well. And those vantage points are the way in which you choose to spend your time, where you choose to spend your time. But it's really about helping leaders to think about these from the perspective that they're unique. So because you are in a leadership position, you have access to these different ways of viewing and seeing things, being able to move and see things from different angles to enable you to do your best job of creating clarity and getting out of the way. So that's the sort of the principle behind the vantage points. And what I say in the book is that there are five different vantage points available for any leader. So one is in amongst. So that would be effectively being alongside a person or a team of people doing the work, and you are doing the work as well. So you are experientially observing what's happening, but also involved in what's happening in terms of the tasks or the jobs that need to get done.
Yeah.
So that's in amongst. The second one is to the side and around, which is still very much working at, being at the level that the work is being done, but more in an observational capacity. So less about actually hands-on doing it, more about observing and seeing to the side of what's happening. So this could be, you know, if you're a leader and you go and visit somewhere, for example, or if you happen to, you know, do management by walking about, you know, with that traditional kind of concept. But this whole idea that you are still very much at that level. The third vantage point takes you up into the ability to be able to see from high above. So you're able at this vantage point, to be able to see your whole system working beneath you. And therefore you can see join-ups and you can see connections. The fourth vantage point is from high out and beyond. So this is where you lift up your eye line. If you can imagine, you know, you're sort of looking down into the work that's being done. You lift your eye line up and you can look out. And this is about seeing the broader system. So it might be about competitors. It might be about research and reading. It might be about, you know, being able to see adjacent divisions or departments. It's that kind of wider understanding. And then the fifth vantage point is inside. And this is really, any leader will be coming from a perspective of experience. They will have their own intuition. And this is creating the space to be able to go within yourself and test and think about things and reflect. So that's the five vantage points: in amongst, to the side and around, from high above, from high out and beyond, and then inside yourself. And they are all going to give you a different angle or perspective on creating clarity and getting out of the way.
I mean, it's something that you mentioned to start with in that was the kind of the two main roles of the leader, which is sort of creating vision and clarity and getting out the way. So I want to talk about that. But how can a leader create this vision and clarity? And are there any sort of common consequences you see if it's not done, maybe if someone's spending too much time in one area over another?
Yeah, so creating clarity is all around answering a number of key questions or making sure they are answered and shared and known. So I say that in that way because it's not necessarily about the leader having all the answers. And that's not what I'm saying. I think this is about the leader creating the conditions in such everybody understands the same shared understanding of the endeavor that they're involved in. So I would expect a great leader to be collaborating with people to create clarity, not just creating it themselves from their own perspectives, even if they're using all these vantage points. It's a good opportunity for collaboration. But essentially, I always think about the creation of clarity. This is about the sort of the parameters and a shared idea of direction. And if you have really good clarity and you're constantly working on it, it's so much, decisions are speedier. There's much less, you know, conflict because people understand what they're doing, who they understand who's doing what. You know, there's not a lot of kind of moving around in circles. People are moving forwards with shared momentum. So creating clarity is really, really important for any organization and the well-being of people within that organization, because that shared sense of purpose is so important to people's motivation and well-being. So that whole sense of creating clarity and collaborating on creating clarity, I sometimes think as it's like the leader is painting a picture or helping a picture to be created. And there's sort of three steps to that that I think are sort of cyclical. So you kind of going through them in a cycle.
Right.
So the first sort of part of that would be sort of setting a scene, which is a bit like drawing the outline of a picture. And that's things like being able to answer really quickly, not in a complicated way, but a number of questions, which is, where are we going? Why are we going there? What does it look like when we get there? And what does it look like at the moment? And how are we going to get there? And if there's clarity around the answers to those questions, that's great leadership.
Yeah.
The leader then can step back more because you don't have to constantly be answering those questions on the go. Everybody has a shared momentum, a shared understanding. So that setting the scene is most important. And then from there on in, you can colour it in, which is my sort of second step, which is really around resourcing that, making sure there's specificity about who does what and clear expectations. And then sharing that view. So a really good two-way collaboration process and communication process that focuses on not just communication of the vision and direction, but comprehension of the direction and vision. And that to me is a package really that a leader can, you know, uses a kind of a formula or a framework for creating clarity themselves.
I mean, after, as the two roles, after you sort of created this clarity, the next part, as you said, is, and I love the way you've put this, is getting out the way. Can we talk a bit more about why this is so important in order to sort of create this culture where employees can thrive? Because I think it's a really interesting way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very hard from a leader perspective to let go, actually, because sometimes can feel quite risky, you know, because you are accountable. Yeah. In a leadership position, you are accountable for results, you're accountable for outcomes. However, you're not doing it on your own. So in order to make the most of everybody's talents and everybody's capabilities, the biggest service that you can actually do to that endeavor is to be able to step back. And it's that moment where you sort of, you know, I have often said to many people I've been working with, you know, you actually gain control by actually moving away from control. Mm. And it's that kind of principle that if you have, and this is why these two things are completely symbiotic. I often think of creating clarity and getting out of the way a bit like the wings of a butterfly.
Yeah.
In that you have to have absolute symmetry with them, because you can't get out of the way, of course, if you haven't created that clarity. But equally, actually, it's very difficult to create the clarity if you don't get out of the way, because you have no time to access your different vantage points to help you create that clarity. So it is very much a symbiotic thing. But it's so important because you've hired and you have in your team so many skills. You know, the group is so much more powerful than you as an individual. And in many instances, so many leaders will find themselves, you know, leading in an area of expertise that might not be theirs. You know, we diversify as we get more senior. There's no way that you can do everything. But you have to be able to then create space. And it's not just about space for expertise. It's space for difference. It's space for everybody to bring their best creativity and ingenuity to solving problems and working together. And I think that, so if you have created some really good parameters together, it's really actually becomes a lot easier to step back, and it becomes a sort of a bit like a self-fulfilling cycle, a virtuous cycle that you can actually maintain. And as a leader, I mean, if you don't get out of the way, it's exhausting, actually. And it's very challenging to be able to then create the advanced clarity, if you like, because it's difficult to access some of, you know, we talked about the different vantage points. It's really difficult to access some of them because you just simply might not have time, you know, or you might be so caught up in the day-to-day activity. And that's not where you're meant to be, because you've been gifted these different vantage points. You need to spend time in each of them. So that's a little bit of an exploration into the importance of that principle of getting out of the way and allowing other people to fill the space that you have specified together.
Mm. Do you think it often comes down to trust, or is it mainly sort of a control issue, sort of being able to like relinquish that control?
Well, one of the first things I get, so the book is sort of split up into different parts. And in one part, we talk about creating clarity. And then we talk about, in another part, we talk about getting out of the way. And the first thing I talk about in getting out of the way, and this is so important for leaders, it's the absolute fundamental thing, is that I think, in all my experience and everything I've seen and my own journey, it's really very challenging to fulfill this role as a leader if you don't know yourself and are somewhat at peace with yourself in terms of who you are, what you bring, whether you are leading from a place of vulnerability yourself, or whether you are leading from a place of acceptance and confidence in yourself. So I think I think leaders owe it to themselves and their teams and their organizations to approach leadership from a very humanistic perspective, because you are a human being leading human beings. And it's therefore really, really important that you actually do quite a bit of work on yourself. So you've got that sense of awareness, understanding, you know, your strengths, you know, your challenges, you know, what pushes your buttons, you know, what doesn't. You're able to control your emotions so that you can be calm, non-judgmental, and able to serve and support other people. So that really is the foundation of it. And if, of course, you haven't actually done that work and really investigated that for yourself and you don't feel at peace, you will want to control things because, you know, it's you will reach externally for those things as opposed to sitting back and knowing that you've created the conditions for success for everybody else. And I think that's the crux. That's actually something to really, you know, sort of frame your thinking around, I think, as a leader, is it's not about you creating success. It's actually nothing to do with you. And it's everything to do with you enabling the conditions for other people to be successful. And that, I think, is really what I've observed to be a real differentiator and aha moment for many leaders is that point. It takes the pressure off as well. You know, that it isn't all about you.
I know what you mean. I think it's interesting you say that. So often, yeah, as you said, leadership, business is always defined by sort of results and performance. But actually, there's not a huge conversation around leaders escaping out that kind of time to sit and do that internal work. And perhaps that's sort of a bigger conversation for businesses to require that of their leaders, to have that time to do that in order to be better.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, I mean, I've been in the people function in various organisations all my career, and now I support leaders in my business, my consultancy business, and many people actually enter leadership through no fault of their own. I mean, it really is about the system very much, you know, quite accidentally. You know, many people will achieve a leadership position because they've been very good at the technical aspect of what they do, and that's their only way of progressing. You know, or it may well be, you know, that's just over time, people might achieve growth in terms of hierarchical growth. And there's lots of good things out there, you know, leadership programs and various different self-awareness tools and all sorts of things that are there. The real point when the light goes on, I think, is when a leader takes ownership for themselves as a leader, sort of almost sounds a bit big and grandiose, but almost like a leader in the world.
Sure.
So they take responsibility for themselves as a leader, as opposed to they have a position in an organization and the organization develops them with leadership training. It still feels external to them. And I can't get away from the fact that if you are leading humans, your most powerful tool is yourself. And understanding yourself and being that attuned to really seeing and observing what people need to be successful, that's your job. Your job isn't to make people successful. Your job is to, again, it's coming back to this creating the conditions for it. And I don't think there's a huge amount of guidance generally for that for people. I think, you know, leadership is very much seen as a progression on a hierarchical structure organization chart, as opposed to a deeper human experience, actually. I think sometimes where it really comes into play is where there's a very, very strong purpose. So someone ends up in a leadership position driven really purely by purpose, and then there's no space for ego in that at all, because the purpose sits so much higher than the individual anyway. But I think that's what we're trying to aspire to as leaders, is that, you know, we understand the purpose that we're trying to achieve is bigger than us as an individual. There's no in on this planet there is no person that is more important than any other person, regardless of what position you hold. And I think once you understand that as a leader, and it, as I say, it takes the pressure off hugely. But that's when the magic starts to happen with everybody else, because you are totally driven from a place of supporting those people to be the best that they can be.
Yeah, it's so true, actually. I mean, leadership's always seems to be, as you said, that thing that you gain once you've been in a role for so long and you're doing well, and it's kind of the natural progression is to then lead that team. But actually, there's probably so much more to it, as you're saying, so much more work that needs to be done rather than just, you know, the new title and the promotion.
What I've tried to lay out in the book is it really is a sort of, I don't want to say it's a manifesto, but it's a sort of a guide, really, about what is the actual job of a leader. You know, really, because often you'll have a job description at different levels, and the job description will describe the outputs.
Yeah.
So the job description will often describe the A to B. You know, we talked about right at the beginning, the A to B. Mm. It'll describe the A to B. But what it might not describe is your job as the leader, because your job is not to do everything that's A to B.
Yeah.
Your job is to create the conditions for success. And my argument would be that involves you creating clarity and creating space effectively. And it is those two things that you do on a day-to-day basis that enable everybody else to make the shifts. And it takes you right out of the equation in terms of having to push everything the whole time. Towards the end of the book, I have a little model, it's a little illustration actually, that sort of describes the difference between what I would call push leadership and magnetic leadership. And so I don't mean push leadership, I mean, at its worst, push leadership can be command and control. But any of us can fall into a dynamic of push leadership, which is essentially, you know, if you're the leader and you're at the sort of the center of this and your team are around you, that it requires your energy to hold that team in place. So, you know, you are constantly creating the energy, and there's almost a passivity because they require you, because it's about you. And actually, what you really want to do is create magnetic leadership, which again is you, you know, at the center of this and your team around you. This is the sort of illustration I'm trying to describe, but that you're not pushing energy out, but that eventually you are drawing people in. So they come into your orbit and they have the agency to do the work. It doesn't require you to create that agency within other people. You just create the conditions and those people come to you. So it's a slightly different framing, but it takes you out of that sense of, you know, I have to be there, I have to be doing this, nothing happens when I'm not there. You can actually create that for yourself as a leader, and it's liberating. And then you get to do all the stuff that often as leaders, I will have so many conversations with people. I haven't got time to do this. I haven't got time to do that. I would love to do that if I had a chance. And I'm sitting there thinking, but that's what you should be doing. So how can we help facilitate that reframe so that you can, because that's what your team needs you to do too.
Especially now that sort of magnetic pull must be so, so helpful. When you can't actually see your team every day and sort of get that energy across in other ways.
Well, I have this sort of, we're recording this, we're almost coming up to a year into this world of working differently and remotely in response to COVID. And I think, whilst I think the long-term implications of that will be decided by history, I think we're still too early into it. Some of the interesting things for me, I reflect on is that I think the winner in this situation in terms of the learning we will get from it is productivity. And I think that because when you take away the easiness of people being just face to face the whole time, I mean, we will be face to face again, if not in hybrid in some format, definitely in the future, of course. But when you take that away, you're left actually with a requirement to really get down to, so what's the point? What are we doing? And it kind of strips a layer away, if you like, and exposes you know, something which needs to be a lot clearer. And I think the winner will end up being clarity in many ways, because a leader who is managing their team and you can't see everybody the whole time, you have to really focus on that clarity, because then people know what they're doing and they come together. And, you know, I think that's really, really important. And on top of that, you have to be human, because we're all having to expose ourselves in ways. You know, if people were able to keep their work and their home separate, and that's not possible now. And so being able to just relate to people on that more equal basis as a human being has also been quite interesting. So I think there's some elements of what have been happening over the last year. I mean, I wrote this book before most of this happened, but it's been interesting to reflect upon the principles that are in there and how they've been magnified during this time.
Definitely. I mean, I don't want to give away too much of the book. We've spoken quite a lot, but are there sort of one or two practical tips you can share to get people started on utilising the vantage points?
Yeah, so there's probably a couple of things I would say, and they bookend the book, if that's a way of saying. So at the beginning of the book, we talk about the five different vantage points. And I've mentioned them here. So in amongst, to the side and around, from high above, from high out and beyond, and inside. And of course, you know, I talk about those in a lot more detail. I talk about the opportunities with them, and actually the risks of each as well, because the thing I would suggest on this is that we've all got preferences. So I'm not bringing anything new to the party here. People will be spending their time in these vantage points. But my offer would be to, or my invitation would be to really consciously think about, which ones do I prefer? So where am I spending more of my time, and which vantage points should I perhaps try and cultivate some more? I should perhaps try and spend a bit more time doing this and doing that. The typical ones for me, as I observe, and for myself as well, that I think require some real leadership discipline to really believe in and enact this philosophy is from higher and beyond. So looking beyond your world of work and seeing that as your work, and also the work inside. So the reflection time, really taking time to stop and pull everything together and then come back and bring it back into the workplace. So those two generally, I think, need cultivation a little bit more than others. But I think that is one, sort of really thinking about the balance of how you're using these different vantage points to help give you information and perspective.
Sure.
And then I think the other thing is that at the back of the book, I had a little bit of fun, I suppose, and I pulled together, there's 12 different tools for managers. So having introduced all these sorts of ideas, it can feel a little overwhelming that, oh my gosh, this is the perfect leader and none of us are perfect. Of course we're not. It really is around having a guide framework to just bring your consciousness and awareness back to, so that you can be a bit more intentional in how you're leading. And in the back of the book, there's 12 different types of tools that, so, you know, they won't all appeal to everybody, but there should be something for everybody that you could sort of try and play with a little bit to help you to be more intentional about some of those concepts that I talk about. So, yeah, that, I think it's about the tips, the very practical things that take this from being a theoretical concept into how you could actually show up and wake up every day and, you know, spend your time, spend your energy.
Yeah, that's really helpful to have that practical part at the end, definitely. Lastly, for anyone interested about you and your work, where can they find more information?
Yeah, lovely. Thank you. So as I say, you know, I'm just kicking off my consultancy. So I'm at vantagepointsconsultancy.com, and I help leaders who are looking to really lean into their leadership and grow their leadership capability and their performance. And explore that and really optimize that. So I do a lot of work coaching people in that space. And I also do quite a lot of work supporting business leaders and teams with some of the ways in which they can use some of these tools that I talk about in the book in an organisational context as well. And as I say, it's all very practical. So I'm at vantagepointsconsulting.com and I'm on LinkedIn. I'm often posting on LinkedIn. My blogs go up on there. And I am on Instagram at paula_leach.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. That was really brilliant. Thank you so much for everyone who listened, and do remember to keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and at Lid Business Media on LinkedIn. We'll be sharing more podcasts with experts such as Paula Leach and new book releases. Take care and see you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.